You may be seated. All right. Are you excited to light candles? Are you? There's a lot of you. Got to wait a little bit longer, okay? Well, Dad preaches. Passage of scripture is, that I'm going to read is perhaps the only one that we left out for the Christmas story, and that is the story of the wise men. It comes from Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. This year, there are a record 107.3 million people traveling for the holidays. And that could spell traffic woes. At least that's a headline from the December 14th USA Today. Now, Matt, there are some of you here tonight as a result of a journey to join with family or friends together to celebrate Christmas. So, how many of you have traveled over 25 miles? Raise your hand. All right. How about over 50? Keep your hands up. All right. All right. Over 100? Keep your hands up. All right. We have winners from Winston-Salem in the back. All right. Anybody longer than that that I can't see out there? All right. Well, congratulations. It's good to have you up in New England for Christmas. Now, I'm not sure what kind of travel woes that you experienced on your way here, but I, and traffic was pretty crazy today as I did my last second errands before Christmas, but I'm sure that none of you had to travel on camelback while crossing a desert. I'm pretty sure nobody had to do that. That's the way that the Magi, the men who came from the east that we traditionally call the wise men, that's the way they traveled. Today, no doubt, we probably would question their wisdom for traveling in this way and on that particular route. The wise men traveled a long distance at great personal expense, all because they saw a star that would let that to them was a sign that the Messiah had been born. Now, the scholars speculate that these wise men most likely came from Babylon, where they could have had a copy of the book of Daniel, the Old Testament book of Daniel. Daniel, well known for his time in the lion's den, was a faithful Jew in the service of King Nebuchadnezzar some 700 years prior, give or take. In the book of Daniel, a prophecy is made of the Jewish Messiah, their promised deliverer. That's, however, speculation, where they came from. There is absolutely no historical certainty of where the wise men came from, nor, unlike the hymn says, we don't know how many there were. We know they came bearing three gifts, but we don't know how many wise men there were. There were probably a lot more because they threw all of Jerusalem into turbulence when they came and announced their reason for traveling. The wise men are labeled wise not because of their mode of travel or the route they took. They are labeled wise because they came to seek Jesus. Their wisdom stands in stark contrast to the wisdom, the quote-unquote wisdom, that of Herod and the scribes of Jerusalem, who, though they heard their reason for coming, still failed to take the six-mile hike from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. That's amazing. That's what made the wise men wise. These wise men, drawing near the end of their journey, are overjoyed. They are rejoicing with great joy, literally, is how Matthew puts it. So what Matthew's intending to convey is that they're experiencing intense joy. Intense joy, more intense than the joy that Patriot fans felt after James White's six-yard dash to the end zone. More intense than the joy of the citizens of the Allied nations experienced at the end of World War II. Now, while that was the climax of the most amazing Super Bowl ever played and the most terrible war ever waged, it was not the arrival of the wise men that was the climax of this short story. When we read passages of Scripture, there is a narrative convention that the writers used, and that was to put the climax, the most important things, at the very end. At the very end of this story, we read of the giving of the gifts of the wise men. Verse 11 says, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Now, I'm sure that we have several younger members of the congregation, and some maybe not so young, who would agree that the opening of gifts is the climax of Christmas. That's the way it is at my house, and there has been there much speculation and desire and questions and perhaps some lost sleep over the subject of gifts. So I want to invite the kids to come on up and sit with me as we look at the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus. So kids, come on up here for just a minute. I want to share with you some of these gifts. And some of you got your jammies on. That's great. You got some good-looking Christmas jammies. Awesome. Yeah. All right. So in this little box right here, I have, what does that look like, Alia? What does that look like? It's kind of weird. They're like rocks, right? And then in here, what does that sound like?
Money.
All right. That sounds like money. Okay. Now, the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus, they didn't bring little baby Jesus any toys, no Legos or cell phones or anything like that. They brought Jesus these gifts. Now, these are really curious. What could they mean?
Money.
Now, money, that's right. Now, when they brought gold, gold was the most valuable thing that you could own, have in the ancient world, and it still almost is today. It's still very valuable. Gold was something that you brought to a king, all right? Gold was that which symbolized or was offered to royalty. Jesus, in bringing Jesus gold, they recognized that Jesus was the king. That's probably the easiest one to figure out. Oops, I spilled a little bit. All right, thank you, Alia. Now, these are frankincense and myrrh. Now, first I want to talk about frankincense. In there, you can see there's two colors of crystals. There's light ones and there's dark ones. Now, frankincense and myrrh were both derived from the bark of trees, and that it's kind of like maple syrup. Have you ever seen maple syrup come out of a tree? And maple syrup comes through, that crystallizes into sugar when you boil it down. When you boil down the resin of these trees, they turn into these hard little rocks. And then when you put them in something hot, like next to a piece of charcoal, they start to smell really good. The first one I want to talk about is frankincense. Frankincense is also known as incense. And have any of you ever smelled incense? Right? Zion, you have, right? We burn that at home, right? To help some of our rooms smell better. We enjoy that smell. In the ancient world, they would burn incense in one place. They would burn it when they worshiped God. Incense was a symbol of deity, or it was something that recognized God. It was something associated with the worship of Almighty God. In the Bible, it also talks about our prayers are as incense, are a sweet-smelling perfume in God's nose. Okay? And then the other one, the lighter one here, okay, everybody look at it with me. This is myrrh. Now, myrrh is a little different, was used for different things. It was used when someone died. When Jesus was on the cross, somebody offered him a sponge that had sour wine and myrrh mixed together. Myrrh was something that they used to put on the dead bodies of people when they buried them. So myrrh was something associated with death. And it was something that foretold what would happen. Jesus was born as a baby, he grew up, and ultimately he went to Jerusalem and died as a man on the cross. And when he died as a sacrifice for our sins. So somehow these wise men knew to bring Jesus this gift of myrrh that would symbolize his sacrificial death. He died for you and me. He died for our sins. All right, very good, guys. Let's put the coins back in. All right. So these are why Jesus got these gifts on his birthday. All right. And one of the reasons why we exchange gifts on the birthday of Jesus is because they offered Jesus gifts. All right. That's very good. You can go ahead and go back to your seats. Yeah, it's a very neat little fascinating box, yes. All right. Well, as the song... Right. Very good. Okay, everybody go back to your seats. We're almost to the candle lighting part. As we sing... Remember the words of the song, the hymn we just sang. Glorious now, behold him arise, God, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, sounds through the earth and skies. This is the meaning of these gifts offered to baby Jesus that pointed to Jesus as King and God and sacrifice. We think, well, what kind of gifts can we offer to Jesus on this Christmas day? We could answer that question in many ways from the passages of Scripture, but I just want to think of them in terms of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. First, we can offer our myrrh. Jesus said, anyone who would come after me must take up his cross and follow me. The cross was an instrument of death. The Bible teaches that we must die to sin so that we might live to God. So bring your myrrh, but also bring your frankincense. That is, offer yourself and your life as a sweet aroma in the presence of God. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma and of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. And we can bring to God our gold. Jesus said the treasure, the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field, which when a man found it, went away and sold everything he had so that he might buy that field. Jesus is worth everything. To come to King Jesus with our gold is to say, I am your servant, you are my master. Direct my life and lead me in it so that I might grow up spiritually to honor and serve you in every way. I don't know what you brought here tonight or what brought you here tonight. Probably wasn't a star, but it's no accident that you're here. So I want to invite you on this Christmas to come to the perfect light, the light of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. In him there is no darkness, but he has overcome the darkness. Become a Christian. Put your faith in Jesus today. Let's pray. Jesus, once again, we just want to bow our heads to thank you and to recognize you as the light of the world. Light up our lives, light up our homes, light up our community, light up our church, light up our world, Lord. We pray that you would come, and come quickly, and that you would find us ready. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to go into our candle lighting time now. So I want to ask that those who are seated